Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
Good morning. Welcome to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. What a beautiful day. Another truly beautiful day in the state of Wisconsin and right here in the heart of the state in downtown Milwaukee. So in the first 3 weeks of the show, I haven't asked guests for book recommendations, but it's something I love to do. So I'm going to add that to my question list for today, because these at the heart of what we're doing at The Upswing, they're conversations with people that care and do. And I love to just ask, all right, what are you reading? Selfishly, it puts books on my list, and I know I need to continue to get better. I need to continue to learn. I need to continue to grow, right? We all do. So one book I just finished, and I wanted to just kind of tee up the show a little bit. I just finished Build the Life You Want by Milwaukee-born Oprah Winfrey and Arthur Brooks. And you may say, all right, Jeff, this is just another like self-help book. They're all the same. They all kind of say the same thing. But I want you to add this book to your list, please. Not only because it has Milwaukee roots, because Oprah's a part of it, but look at what the book jacket says. With insight, compassion, and hope, Brooks and Winfrey reveal how the tools of emotional self-management can change your life immediately. They recommend practical research-based practices to build the four pillars of happiness: family, friendship, work, and faith. This is a great, great book. It presents strategies really well, no matter if you're 17 years old or 77 years old. I'd truly put it on your list and take a read from what Oprah and David Brooks have to say. It's an amazing book with some really, really unique insights on career, family, life, and more. And since today we're talking family and a bit about mentorship, let me just read what Oprah says about mentorship. When I'm mentoring my girls, she says, I like to emphasize that success in life isn't as much about having the right answers as it is about asking good questions. What does living well mean for me? Not according to someone else's model. And how do I do it? What is genuinely worth striving for? How can I offer more? How can I serve more? What lessons can I glean from my experiences, especially the toughest ones? How do I make the best use of my limited time on this earth? Today's show is about family, adaptability, mentorship, motherhood, and maybe we'll talk a little bit bourbon too. Our guests are doers. They are Regine Cantor, the only woman in 1968 in her graduating class to receive a business degree from St. Norbert. She moved on, got her master's in education, and has worked most of her professional life in nonprofit agency administration, charitable foundation management, and public relations. She served on way too many boards to mention. I'll mention a few of them after the break. Now 77, she's still at the nonprofit table. Just last year, co-chairing the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Gala. She's a mentor, an author, humanitarian, a mom to her kids, Jill, and our other guest today, Jim Cantor, the board chair at the Wisconsin Center District and chief commercial officer at Central Standard Distillery. This is going to be an amazing conversation, not only because it's the first time we have a mother-son combo on The Upswing, but you look at the legacy families in Wisconsin and Milwaukee. The names are tried and true, right? You got Daniel, Selig, Marcus, Gimbel, Stein, Druno, Zilber. There's a ton of families that are doing impactful, amazing work. Today on The Upswing, it's Cantor. Two great people, committed, caring, and kind. Regine and Jim Cantor are up next, from boardrooms to barrel rooms with the Cantors. This is The Upswing. We'll be right back. I'm Jeff Sherman. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. At the heart of what this show is all about, it's conversations with people who care and do. And today it's a mother-son duo who are moving Milwaukee forward in a ton of different ways. So I think I met Regine Cantor before Jim Cantor, probably through some of her foundation work. And I don't know if I can publicly share this, but I will. She used to play an amazing helper as Mrs. Claus at Mayfair Mall, and my kids would always like, wow, I know she's not, this isn't the real Mrs. Claus, but she is so good at what she does. And Jim and I originally met through a mutual friend, and his days at Miller Brewing Company, worked on a ton of projects together. I had the pleasure of serving with Jim at the Wisconsin Center Board. So welcome, Jim Cantor. Welcome, Regine Cantor. Thanks for being the first mother-son duo on the Upswing.
Thanks, Jeff. That's Well, first of all, the intro was very humbling. Thank you very much. But yeah, we're groundbreakers here. First mother son duo. Good.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
and we're very honored to have that.
Thank you. All right, this is going to be fun. So, talk about Jim. Tell us how your parents, specifically your mom's experience in the community, kind of set you forward in your business career.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think I would watch them, and the most important thing that I always kind of gleaned from all the things that my mom and certainly my dad, as part of it too, were involved with, is the relationships that were created through those things and the connections that you make and the people. When you do great things, good things come back to you. It's kind of what we kind of subscribe to, and there were so many great things that they were able to do in the community, starting with things like the March of Dimes and the Potawatomi Foundation, and just the number of connections and people that you meet, and they're all kind of bring it back to you, which is just so fulfilling, and that's why this community is so great, right? People really, it's a close-knit community, so you got to watch what you do sometimes. but with that said, everyone helps each other out and really pulls for each other, too. No matter if you're a friendly competitor or not, it's just such a great place.
Very much so. So, Regine, early in your career, I gave a little bit of your background, but why don't you tell us, you know, what your professional path was early on?
Early on, my father was very influential to me because back in the 1960s, women could be teachers, social workers, or nurses. And he said, I'll pay for your college. What do you want to do? And I said, well, one of those three, because that's what's open to me. And he said, no, let's get you into the business world. So he was my first mentor to get me into the business world. He connected me with other women in the community that were in the business world. And so I got a degree in business, which had its ups and downs. But actually, I will have to say, when I look back, I never remember a lot of discrimination against me. Mm-hmm. I do remember being engaged to get married to Jim's dad and having to take my engagement ring off whenever I went to a interview.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you were the only woman to graduate from your St. Norbert class in business. How many people were in that class?
There were, I think, about 200 some people, but not in the business. In the business class itself was over 100.
Okay.
So, and I was also an accounting major, and there were only 12 accounting majors.
Okay. So have you two ever collaborated on a community project together?
We actually talked about that. I don't think we really have done anything together. I think maybe that's what makes us so close, is we haven't done anything together. I don't know.
That's probably right.
I did serve on one of her boards early on with the March of Dimes board. I think that was probably as close as we came to really doing anything too collaborative. But I think, you know, what we like is to have those different experiences so we can share the differences that we have and kind of where things are coming from on different aspects and get different viewpoints on it.
Yeah. So, Regine, your path to becoming an author and kind of the kids' books that you have written, talk about your experience professionally and how it led to the creation of your children's books.
Well, I was looking for something to do when I retired. You know, many of us, you say, I'm going to retire. But I knew right away that if I was going to try to just sit in a rocking chair, life would be miserable for everyone, including my children. So I thought, okay, I've got to do something. And at that time, Jim's oldest daughter was about 4 years old.
Okay.
And my daughter, Jill, was going to India. And I always used to read books to the kids. And I said, well, let's go get a book. And I couldn't find it. So when I did retire, I went back to the bookstore, still no books. So I said, I guess I have to write these. So that led to the children's books. And then I've always been very active in mentoring throughout my whole career. Mm-hmm. And I had, there was a story to be told. So I worked with four of the women that I mentored and moved them through the book with me, and they had another mentoring experience.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about the book specifically and your travels mm-hmm. and all the countries you've been to and kind of how you've used the books as a powerful mentorship tool in your life. We'll be right back with Jim Cantor and Regine Cantor. This is The Upswing. Thanks for being with us. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're talking community. We're talking family. We're talking mentorship and more with Jim Cantor and Regine Cantor, a mother-son duo bringing it each and every day. So Regine Cantor is a 40-year breast cancer survivor, grandmother to 8, parent and author of an amazing collection of books called Grandma's Books World. The mission of the series is to help young kids and parents learn about other cultures and foster a greater understanding of inclusion. And she has been to over 50 countries. So how have your travels, Regine, kind of dovetailed into what the books are all about? And how do you balance all of that? And just, you know, wow, 50 countries and how many books in the series? Five?
Five books in the series, okay. Yes. I guess it just, they all fit together. That's all I can tell you is when I'm out on traveling, I'm always looking for what's exciting, what's new. And I try to get into the culture. I try very hard. I try to get to be able to visit schools and things like that. So it's not just that I'm out there, you know, going on the cruise ship, having a nice cocktail and walking on the street for a little bit and coming back. It's I get into cultures, and that has been the very important thing. And that's how I get the motivation to do the books and to find out how to do different projects that can come from what I've learned.
So specifically the countries you've been to, how have they talk about the titles of the books and what you've learned from each one of your travels then?
Oh, that is a hard question.
Yes.
Well, I have to say that probably the one right now that is standing out is probably the last trip I just took.
Okay.
And that was to Zimbabwe. It's not a place many people go. I was not there as a tourist. I actually had met a woman on the cruise ship who was an assistant server who bumped me in the head with a tray. And 5 years later, we were in her home country handing out clothes to children who were in need. And so so that one definitely has all different kinds of things to it. Europe, of course, is just so rich in art and things like that. Made me look at things in a new way. Hopefully we have not been to Australia yet, so I'm waiting for that one to see what they can offer me.
Okay. All right. So leading and community work can be pretty demanding. How have you both supported each other through your leadership journeys? Jim?
Yeah, I think starting out, I didn't know what I was getting into, right? I really, you want to be on a board when you're young and you want to do great things when you see great people doing that and those are inspirational to you. And then all of a sudden you get on the board and you go, oh my gosh, what have I done, right? So when you have great mentors and family and a mom and a dad who kind of you can talk to, and a lot of times they just listen,
right,
which is what good people do, right? They don't give you the answer. They lead you to the right answer, and the right answer is what you want it to be, right? It's not necessarily a black and white thing anymore, especially in the world we live in. And you just got to think through it a little bit, and helping you think through those things. That's been helpful, really helpful to me.
Yeah. And having a mom who has the experience, you've been on so many boards and co-chaired so many things yourself, you have that anchor in your life too, right?
A lot of times I tell them a story and they just laugh. My mom would just laugh and go, yeah, I know what you're saying.
I look at my world. You know, my dad worked for Goodwill Industries his whole life, and just having that community commitment was aspirational. My mom was a nurse. So they're both there, just there for you in a caring, compassionate way. And that's, you know, that's what you strive for. And you just hope that we can kind of bring that down to our kids then moving forward. So from a grandmother lens, how do you hope to use your books to continue to motivate your grandchildren?
Well, not only motivate my grandchildren, but all the grandchildren in the world. I don't think small, I think big.
That's good. Yeah. I like that.
And so what I have done is actually started a program that's very easy for everyone to do, very inexpensive, and kids can be part of it, and that's the dress drive. And the dress drive goes to, the clothes go to 4 different countries in Africa. They have to be all brand new. We do it with no budget. My condo looks crazy right before everything leaves. And so far, we have distributed over 8,000 pieces of clothing, with 3,000 being distributed this year. So it's growing and it's very active. But a little dress you can pick up when it's on sale for $5. Mm-hmm. But you can still get the great feeling of helping.
And did that dress drive come from the Wish for Christmas Dress book?
The book came from the drive.
Okay, all right.
Because when I was doing the Santa Claus books, because I still am very close with Santa.
Good.
I was able to do some research, and I found out about this wish that in some of the countries in Africa, especially where the people are underprivileged, the children only wish for a piece of new clothing. That's the only gift they want.
Hmm. Okay.
And so,
well, when we come back, I'm going to have you give information on where people can get involved in that dress drive for sure. And we'll come back. We'll have an update on Central Standard Distillery and the Baird Center from Jim Cantor. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Honored to have Jim Cantor, the board chair of the Wisconsin Center District and chief commercial officer at Central Standard Distillery, join us today with his mother, Regine Cantor. So we'll get back to some mentorship and community talk with Regine and Jim. But Jim, I wanted to get an update on, you're in year four at Central Standard now. How's the transition from the big brewing company to a smaller distillery going in terms of like innovation and just creativity and powering you forward as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, it's actually been, I thought it'd be super easy and was super hard, like anything good in life, right? Obviously, Molson Coors is a great place. Learned a ton about the business and industry, but there are subtle differences. And then I remember talking to people and they said, going from a big place to a small place is pretty hard. And thankfully, Pat and Evan, who are the co-founders, who I've kind of known since they started, we really have really started clicking. We get along great, which is fantastic. We, like any good team, Jeff, know your role on the team, right? So, and we all focus on where our strengths are, and we bounce a lot of things off of each other, which has been, things are going really well. In fact, we just partnered, with the folks from Molson Coors on a collaborative project with Leinenkugel's.
And that's the old-fashioned cocktail in a can with Leinies?
Yes, it is. Yeah. So we use our Central Standard award-winning North Brandy. Their flavors from a lot of their shandies that they have done over time. Can't give you all the secret ingredients, but you know what's in an old fashioned,
right?
Cranberry, orange, cherry, those kind of things. And so far, so good. Off to a fantastically great start.
So, as a partnership with Liney's, is that a distribution and a branding? There isn't beer in the can.
There's
cocktail,
not beer.
No?
Yeah, okay, that was one of the things we tried to. It was. A challenge to overcome a little bit, right?
Right.
Because the world of the beverage, and I know you've been involved on the periphery and a lot of things too, the beverage blur, as we call it, everything's kind of melding together. So there is no beer in that canned cocktail that we have. It's our brandy and then flavorings that they use in their shandies, which are indigenous as much to the state of Wisconsin as we can. It's only available in the great state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, that's great. And that's wonderful positioning. And there's so many great, unique products in the state of Wisconsin that are just unique and germane to who we are. And I think we embrace that as a customer base.
Right. And so far, it's done really well. In fact, our first run we thought would last us till about June or July, and we've have to make more next week. So
okay. We're out. All right. That's good. Make more.
Thank you, Wisconsin. We appreciate you.
So what are you seeing as trends in the alcohol space? Obviously, the pour ready cocktails, that's more than a trend. That is here to stay. What about from the NA space? Is that something you're looking at Central Standard?
Yeah. In fact, at our craft house and kitchen downtown on 3rd and Claiborne, one of our biggest selling items is on the back of the cocktail menu. We have an NA item, right? We have NA items, I should say. So those are things we're looking at. We're looking at how do you distill an NA spirit. It's a little bit harder than you'd think.
Yeah.
To get the right flavors and everything else we're working
on. And probably a little bit more expensive too, right?
Yes, exactly. But we lean into the R&D world. In the beverage space overall, we're starting to see a lot of things in the THC, right? Delta 9, Delta 8s in a drinkable form or format. So those are things that are happening as well. So everything continues to evolve and blend together, and we have fun with our new product stuff on Friday Tridays at the office. So if you ever want to come down and Some of the experimental stuff is really good and some is really bad.
All right. That's what it's all about. Experimenting to move forward. We'll come back after the break. We'll talk a little bit more about mentorship. And I want to get, hey, when's the rooftop deck at Central Standard open? Is there an opening day set? We will look at the RNC and other things going on in the summer of Milwaukee with Jim Cantor and Regine Cantor. This is The Upswing. We're back. This is The Upswing. Thanks for being here. March is all about basketball. I want to, Jim Cantor joins us from Central Standard Distillery. Jim, congratulations. I hear you got a big youth hoops victory and another, and your son Joe head into state on the high school side.
Yeah, it was one of those, it was going to be a historic day no matter what for the Cantor family, either two historic losses or two historic wins. So yes, I coached my daughter's eighth grade team, which was pretty well in the Padre tournament this weekend.
Yes.
For those in Milwaukee, they know 66 years of running a fantastic. I know your son Jake's a great player as well and has played in that.
So. Yeah, that eighth grade tournament, it was just, it's so much fun. There's so much legacy there. The fans are so into it. The kids are still into it. I mean, years later, the coaches still talk about the loss. Like, it's just one of those tournaments. So congratulations for taking your daughter's team to the top.
And the side note there is I lost my first game. My wife, Molly, lost her first game when she played. Our daughter, Sarah, who played at Divine Savior, she lost her first game. Joe Cantor, the guy who you mentioned going to state, never got it because of COVID. And then our Patrick Cantor lost last year. So Caroline Cantor, not necessarily the strongest basketball player on the team, can now hold that over all her siblings' heads.
So. That's a great thing for the sister to have on the plate, for sure. So, Regine, did you ever coach Jim Cantor in basketball? Was that something you guys did?
Oh my gosh, no. If I would have ever coached any sport, it would have been just terrible, terrible. They wouldn't have won anything. They wouldn't have even ever scored. Now, my husband on the other side, he could help a bit, but not me. That was not the area of coaching I did.
Okay. Yeah, my wife and I coached 1 year together with our son, and, you know.
Together.
You learned a lot as a husband and wife, and I think the kids did all right, but then it was like, all right, mommy, daddy, leave this to the professionals. So what's the path for Marquette High? When's the first game?
So first game's Friday at about 8 o'clock at the Kohl Center.
Okay.
I have tough Kettle Moraine team. Kettle Moraine was there last year in the championship game. Arrowhead will be there against Nina as well. So all three of those teams are in the Final Four last year, and we're the only one that's new this year.
All right. Well, hey, best of luck to all teams for sure. So Regine, I wanted to talk about your book, Who Held the Door Open?
Yes.
And what was the inspiration for writing this book, and who are kind of the key stars within it?
Well, you know, you started to hit on it when you said that you and your wife were coaching together. And I have found out through, I was a youth minister at one time, and those kids taught me very well that they needed someone else to talk to. And I began to see what mentoring was all about through those young people, and continue to do this throughout my life. The other thing that you said early on when you were reading from Oprah was that what a mentor does is ask good questions. Actually, in my book, I actually say, if your mentor is telling you what to do, get a new mentor, you know, because it should be just something that's leading people. So the book has four people write their stories in it.
Okay.
I do my pieces on mentoring, but then they take it and show how the mentoring actually helped them through life crises.
And they were all mentees of yours.
They're all mentees of mine, and they all have a Milwaukee touch point.
Okay. And you still keep in touch with them, I'm assuming?
Every day almost,
let me tell you. Amazing.
Sometimes it's, you know, they were just wonderful women who have, like any one of us at some point, gone through some crazy times and needed someone to talk to.
Yeah.
So I have one in Spain who just sent me a text last night. When can we talk? I need you, you know. And so it's it just is. I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we have scheduled things. We don't worry about their jobs necessarily, unless that's what's causing the problem at that time. We move around and we're very fluid.
My grandma always used to tell me that, Jeff, you have one mouth and two ears for a reason. Use both of your ears and listen more than you talk. And that's wonderful grandmotherly advice.
Right.
So we got to head to a final break. We'll come back and wrap up the Upswing with Jim Cantor and Regine Cantor. I want to talk about the summer 2024. I want to talk a little bit about just kind of what success looks like for both of you as we continue forward. This is the Upswing. Thanks for being here. Welcome back to the Upswing. I truly appreciate the time our guests have taken. Our guests, Jim Cantor and Regine Cantor, the first son-mother combo to join us. So
hopefully not the last one. Hopefully you haven't ruined it for others.
No. We're going to make this a trend, right? So oftentimes, there can be interesting family dynamics, right? Just like work dynamics, relationship dynamics. How, Regine, have you kind of powered through and found ways to, hey, let's stay together as a family?
Well, that is so true. I mean, there are no two people that always get along together. That never happens. And especially when you have teenage years, college years, let me tell you, there can be some real things. But the one thing that I have found, and I know that my children and I have had a discussion about, is we have always loved each other unconditionally. We may not have approved what each other were doing, but we always loved each other with an unconditional, real love. And there's one thing I can say to parents out there, hang on to it. Hang on to it, because otherwise it's going to be a rough road if there's a split.
That's right. Yeah. And as any new parent will tell you, it goes so quickly, They're one and suddenly they're 16 and then they're 26 and then, life just continues and it comes at you fast.
And then they're in their 50s.
And you still got to be a good mom and mentor him along, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So what are some of your favorite things? You've both chosen to stay in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. I'm sure had many opportunities to leave. What has anchored you to this community? Jim.
Yeah, I think it is that community involvement. It's the closeness of the community. And when things like the RNC are a possibility for this city to come into our town, you just saw how many people, whether you're on the right side, the left side, the center side, whatever side you're on, and competitors, venues, whatever, everyone joins together. And there aren't too many places like that you can set aside your differences for the good of the community. And it truly is. And hopefully we can be a small part of that to keep bringing that forward and moving our city forward. We're still that little engine that could sometimes, but I think we're starting to break out and become a little more confident too.
And how does the kind of the completion of the Baird Center help with that success?
It was a key component of that. Thanks for asking, Jeff. I mean, the team over there has just done a fantastic job, and getting that done was not an easy thing. We voted to approve that expansion in the middle of COVID, right? And the good news about that story is if we had to go back and ask for the money now, it would easily be double to almost triple what the costs were because of the rising costs and inflation and things like that. So the city backed us, the state backed us, and everyone said, let's do this and let's be a player now. And that really helped us solidify and get the RNC here in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Well, on Friday's show, we have Visit Milwaukee and Sarah Mayo from the Baird Center on to talk about specifically the marketing of Milwaukee and post-RNC, how that opportunity is going to open up even more doors for the city. And that's what it's all about, bringing more business to the heart of the state.
They're already booking things into 2030, Jeff, so it's fantastic.
Wow, that's great. So I always like to ask as we close the show for a definition of success, especially kind of having two esteemed community leaders like yourselves here. Regine, how do you define success?
I define success by setting goals when I go into something or have to deal with something and trying to meet my goal. If I meet my goal, however small it may be, however large it may be, then I'm a success.
All right. I love it. Jim?
Oddly, I would say learning from failure and keep going forward, right? That's one thing that if you're not challenging yourself and if you're not failing, you're not going to actually get to success. So that's one of the first barriers. And how happy you feel when you get that success and those goals that you hit. If you're happy and fulfilled, that's successful for your whole team, your whole group, your family, whatever it is. I think those are the ways we look at it.
Very good. What's the quote? To be able to go from failure to failure, with enthusiasm. That is what the Upswing's all about. Conversations with people that care and do each and every day across the state of Wisconsin. I'm Jeff Sherman. Thanks for joining us. Tomorrow, all business. We're always all business on the Upswing. But tomorrow, Mark Cass, executive editor of the Milwaukee Business Journal, joins us for a deep dive into the headlines at the Business Journal and much more.